lately in PHP episode 45. This is a podcast in the form of Hangout that we record every month. At least we try it after we struggle with Google Hangouts. Every month is an every struggle. And again, this time I have here with me Cesar Rodas. Hello, Cesar. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. How are you doing? I'm just doing just fine.
Yeah. Are you? Where are you now? Are you in New Zealand or Paraguay?
I am in my country in Paraguay. I work from my place, and I'm outside in the garden because here it is summer, so I am outside.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know you're still enjoying the weather over there. Is still hot, but it has been raining. It has been more pleasant. And the year we are going to talk about many interesting topics about PHP. And this time, let me. I think my video disappeared. I don't know if it is going to appear anytime. Anyway, I'm going to talk about several topics. I'm going to start with a few here about PHP. And as usual, we start about the latest PHP releases that have been done, like. Well, I'm trying to share the screen, but for some reason, okay. I think it's. Can you see it now?
Yes, I can see it now.
Yeah. Well, here we have the latest PHP releases. Specifically, there was a PHP 5.5. 0.9 revision on February 6, along with 5.425, basically very similar list of bug fixes. Let me go there and start in the right spot. Actually, there is already a newer version, but we'll talk about it later next month. And from these bug fixes, the only difference that I noticed is regarding a security bug that affected only PHP 5.5. Let me see if I can find more details about it. Okay, here it is. This is the bug report that happened already in December. And it is about the image crop function, which I think it was introduced in PHP 5.5. And there was a security bug reported, and only in February, it seems the fix was released. And this didn't affect previous PHP versions, I mean 5.4 or 5.3, because this function did not exist then. To tell you the truth, I have not tried this function before, and precisely because I don't use yet PHP 5.5. I don't know about you. Are you using PHP 5.5, Cesar?
Yes, I am using PHP on production on a couple of servers that I own. 5.4. In my development machine, I have 5.5, just because it makes my life easier. Like, I can just use the PHP, the built-in server, and it works everywhere. So for my development machine, it is very, very handy. And but I never use that image function, though, so I don't know. And I'm not using any external library that relies on that library on that function call. I'm trying to think, but it seems so. Yeah.
Right. I think that this is probably to replace the usual command that you use when you want to crop some image, this way you just can call a single function, and that's it. And that's the bug that was reported just affected that function. So despite it was a security bug, probably didn't affect many PHP developers that had been using it. I don't know either.
I tried to follow the bug report, and it looks like a very complex thing. Like I don't even know how to exploit that. But I'm glad that they fix it.
Right, and also talking about newer versions, there is another. Actually, this is the second one. I don't think we mentioned PHP 5.6 alpha versions. This is already the second alpha version that has been out for testing. I haven't tried it either, but well, whoever is interested in testing the new features, there is already a package for download, either from source from this URL. Let me try to probably create the font downloads.php.net/trl. I don't know, it's probably the name of an account of the release manager. And there is also available for download a build for Windows. So, well, I haven't tried this. Or what about you, Cesar?
I haven't tried it yet, but I might give it a try. But I don't know.
You are not very.
I don't see many reasons why to switch, but I will eventually switch when this gets stable.
Right, I think, as PHP matures, there is not much as a great motivation for the developers to actually start poking on new versions. Sometimes the new versions implement features that you probably have been doing without, and have already your ways to achieve those features with the previous version. So it's not something that you get are very so excited to try. But okay, whoever is interested in this should try.
I think personally that there is more excitement like from bigger version switch, like from 5.3 to 5.4, and you see how your program, how the same exact code runs faster or use less CPU or less memory. The same happened with 5.5. So I should wait to see like what new things they have, and definitely just what I usually do is I download I compile them and I run the test suites. I haven't done that lately, but I should keep doing that because that is my tiny contribution to the PHP community.
Right, and talking about PHP 5.6, the first beta is expected to go out soon. There is this message, this announcement from Ferenc Kovacs just near the end of the month, on which he announces that it will be available soon, and people should get ready to do whatever they plan to include prepare any features and that needs to be finalized for this upcoming release. Well, okay, this was just one topic. So moving on with the next topic, which is close here, which is more related with the upcoming features, or at least proposals for features. And one of those features is precisely about the a new eventual modifier that is being proposed. It is to be called deprecated. And actually, the proposal is not exactly new, but it is going under discussion. And basically, it's to have a modifier in functions, so they are considered deprecated. It's probably meant to for instance, library or framework developers to mark some functions that are not meant to be used in newer versions, so they can issue some warnings. Well, this may be interesting as a purpose, but I don't know if you really need a new modifier in your in the PHP language to issue a warning. Probably could trigger an error of type user deprecated without having actually this as a modifier. I don't know. What do you think, Cesar?
I personally believe that language extension, that they should be used only in case where you have a problem that you cannot do it from the user land, or if you cannot do it as efficiently from the user land. This particular case, I think that it will add more problems than what it tries to actually solve, because I can do that right now. I can throw one exception if one function is deprecated and they shouldn't be using, or I can create a trigger error to something that will be removed eventually soon. I believe that those approaches should be used, adding, like modifying the whole language just to add this. What happens if I, like, that will force me to upgrade to a certain version just to have this tiny feature. Say I want to use a library that you publish and say that has that modifier which is deprecated. So I right. want to I if I run that right now, that will just fail because that token does not exist. So that will create like fatal errors for other PHP versions. So it's not backward compatible. So and that is something important.
But it will be much simpler if you just put a call to trigger error
or
error log entry to be so we don't even trigger errors. But in this case, I think it is meant to trigger a user deprecated error. So it would be simpler than trying to push a new feature that in reality doesn't add nothing that it was not possible to already implement without any penalty in current PHP versions. Well, at least that's what I think. And talking about feature proposals, there are actually plenty of feature proposals last month in February that came precisely from one person, which is Yasu Ogaki. His name sounds Japanese, and Yasu has been very, very active sending several proposals. Many of them were specifically related with security, and this is interesting because while PHP may not add any significant features in terms of the language in newer versions, it can evolve in becoming a more secure language. And in the case of this proposal, what he's suggesting is that the unique ID function, which is a function that is typically used to generate identifiers that you don't want to clash with others being used in the same context, is proposing to have an additional parameter that would determine the length of the unique identifier that is returned. And this may be interesting because in some cases you want a unique identifier, but you need it to be of a specific length, at least have a minimum length that is sufficient for certain purposes. I do not recall any specific example, but sometimes you need a very long unique identifiers, and this seems to be related with security matters, as in certain cases to be secure, certain solutions cannot have identifiers colliding. And the idea here seems to be interesting, but probably many of the PHP developers will not realize its importance in terms of security. Cesar, have you looked into this proposal? What do you think about it?
I think that I'm not a security expert, but the way that you generate like I was reading, like that the unique ID, if you call it, that it returns a shorter. I don't recall, but I think 9 bytes or so random things. And if you pass the parameter true, it sends you something longer, but it takes more time. That is why he is proposing to this function, and he specifically says that that he wants to use these devices on proper operating systems or the OpenSSL for Windows, which that function is available already in PHP. If you really want to have like cryptographically safe random bytes, but nobody uses it. So I think that is important, specifically to generate those tokens to avoid the there was an attack. I don't remember what was its name. That to prevent it, you put a random byte into your form, so you make sure that the current user send it and not somebody else on his behalf. I don't remember that attack. But,
yeah, I'm not sure either. Is it the one related with the request parameters?
No. I mean that many people use the unique ID to generate a CSRF token, which is used to send for, I forgot that name. I think it's CSRF, I am not sure.
Yes, cross-site request forgery.
Exactly.
To be honest, it's hard to actually have in mind all possible scenarios of attack, and I think this happens to most, I will not say all, but to most of the PHP developers, because They are not that experienced with the security matters, and sometimes they do not realize whatever they use a certain function this way or that other way. And well, it's always possible to imagine certain attacks that most developers are not aware, and then they get surprised that their sites are abused and so on. So, well, I think this proposal has its value, although probably not many PHP developers will reckon it up front. But so it's good that Yasu and others come up with these proposals, because in the end, it's always the PHP reputation that is in, at stake when you, because those that prefer other languages, it's easy for them. Oh, PHP is not secure. And probably it's not the problem in the language. It's more the practices of the developers. And well, talking about security proposals, there's another proposal also for Yasuo Ogaki. Let me share the screen here. And this one is for a different purpose that actually, it has been, if I'm not mistaken, it has been voted already and it was rejected, right? Like 4 to 10 votes. And basically what it proposes is that, that those functions that are usually used to escape text to be presented in HTML pages, like HTML special chars and HTML entities, that they also escape the slash character. And the example here shows, let me try to increase the font here, shows a situation on which would be interesting to escape, because the slash character is also used to as the start comment and then comment for JavaScript code. And well, this example here is probably very unlikely that somebody will do some brute force, maybe not brute force, but maybe a very simple type of parsing HTML to extract attributes, like here. And it's supposed that if the slash is not escaped, it would assume this year would be a comment, and it will only end here, ignoring that there is a closed tag and an open tag here, and some evil code could be parsed, could be taken, and well, this is, I have never seen exactly a situation like this, but almost never sometimes mean that sometimes there is a vulnerability, and if you do not take care, bad things may happen. Anyway, this proposal was rejected. I did not follow the discussions, so I don't know why it was rejected, but only a few people proposed it. I do not see also what would be the disadvantages of this proposal, but well, okay. This is mostly just to mention that there was yet another proposal for a security improvement, and okay, there is a thread of discussion here, so. I don't know if you want to add anything else regarding this proposal, Cesar.
No.
But did you mute yourself?
I'm sorry. I was saying that I don't know why it was rejected, but I don't see that this is a potential threat. Like, your browser, it needs to be broken first, and second, you need two statements in the same line, so they can be treated as, say, JavaScript line. So it's unlikely.
Right. Well, I don't know about the purposes, I mean the justification for and against, they did not seem very solid. And I, at the same time, I agree with you, this, probably this history is not that important. So we are going to move on with yet another proposal here. And this time again by Yasuo Ogaki. I'm not sure if you can call, I don't think this is related to security, which should be to have a new parameter for the declare statement here, on which you declare that you require certain version of PHP code to execute this PHP script. Well, I don't know if this would be really necessary. I think it's one of those cases that on which you could do put some code to test the PHP version. Probably a little more complicated, but it still be possible to do in the current PHP versions. Well, that's what my take. What do you think? Do you see this proposal would add anything new to PHP, or maybe not?
I think it's not. Like again, why changing the language to do something that you already can do it in the source code? And what I follow that discussion in particular, and what people say is that if you are so worried about that, you should use Composer or something similar. So because you should check that before installing something, so which makes sense. And I guess that if you are worried about it, you can always add an if version, something, and if something goes wrong, you may throw one exception.
Right. I guess that's another closed case. And moving on to the next proposal again by Yasuo Ogaki, but along with Moriyuki Fuzumi. Well, I hope I'm not spelling their names so wrong. Well, anyway, this proposal here is to optional tags, PHP tags by PHP, and I actually, I think I read this proposal, but I got it to be something different.
Basically, what they want to say is that they don't want the PHP tag at the beginning of your script. They say that if you don't write web applications, that if you have an application that is not going to be mixed with HTML, that there is no need for having so. That might be right, but again, breaking backwards compatibility and gaining nothing in return, I guess that's not going to be as accepted.
Yes, that's one pattern that I'm noticing. As PHP becomes more mature, there are less and less features that are really necessary to newer versions. And it seems that people's imagination for new features is going too far ahead. Well, I don't know. But
the cool thing about some proposals is that they already have some working code and they attach a patch. So if you want to test it yourself, you can build it. This one apparently it doesn't have, but it doesn't look like a very complicated change. However, someone has to do it.
Yes, it seems it was not yet voted, but I don't know. I think that the discussions here do not seem to be very much in favor of this feature. If I got this right, because I've been looking at so many proposals that were presented this last month that probably I'm confusing things. Anyway, let's move on to the next proposal. Okay, this is interesting. It is a proposal for a new operator, which they call combined comparison or the spaceship operator, which is basically a less and the equal and followed by a more operator. Yeah, and it since it looks like a spaceship, the used in a game for a text terminal. That's why they call it a spaceship operator. And this proposes yet another one of those features that probably people do not need it so much because they can all do it already. Basically, it will. It's an operator that it takes two expressions, and if expression A is larger than expression B, to return one. If it's smaller, to return -1. If it is equal, return 0. And this is basically used for sorting callback functions. For instance, used by usort when you need to specify some custom sorting rules for an array. And, this is very typical for being used by binary search algorithms that are used in certain sorting implementations. And well, you can actually do this with some conditional operators. So this is probably just a syntactic sugar feature. I don't see it being very important. But
I don't see that as important at all, because it's only useful for binary search, which is uncommon. But it will be used like 90% of the cases just for sorting callbacks, either by sorting vectors and anything like that. And why break the language? Like, if I have the latest PHP now, and if I use that syntax, it says like tokenizer error, so there is something wrong. So why break callback to just gain nothing? So you are gaining, like, instead of doing like because if you are sorting numbers, you can just subtract them, and that gives a much better feedback to the caller. So that makes no sense, to be honest.
Right. Yet another feature that it's not so important, because it really does not add anything new to the language. It's, in this case, I think it's more syntactic sugar. And
you would break backwards compatibility, and that's something.
Well, if you look at many of the newer version features, many of them are incompatible with the newer old versions, but it doesn't mean that old code would not run. I'm impressed with the amount of feature proposals that were submitted this month that probably are not going very far because they all seem to fit that proposal of that format of implementing features that you can do away without them. Talking about that, there is another proposal, this time by Joe Watkins and Phil Sturgeon, to implement it's a sort of extension of the type hitting support that PHP already provides. This time they call it array of, meaning, well, from what I understood, they would check the types of an array element, an array parameter that is being passed to a function, Well, I'm not sure if this is going to pass, because if you only have to check the types of all array elements.
I don't know why people have the obsession of turning PHP into an static type language, and it has been vote, and there is nothing wrong with actually being a static type, but PHP is a scripted language, which means that if you have some dynamic, it's way easier for the developer. And what is going to happen? Say, I am not giving you, I am giving you an iterable object. So it looks like a vector, but it isn't. So you would just pull everything and put them into memory, which is expensive, just to check what type they are. So that makes no sense. We shouldn't even worry, because it didn't pass. Like, they have time to vote until tomorrow, I guess.
I don't think we will pass either. But anyway, type hinting is just something that if you want to use it, you use it. If you don't want to use it, you don't. And I don't think features like this will hurt the performance when you don't use them. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure exactly how the internals work on this case, but in this case, it will check if the parameter is an array, and if it is an array, to check the types of the elements. And PHP doesn't have to be used in high scalability environments all the time. You can use them, but things like this seem to be probably more useful when you are in the development environment, and probably this is more useful to catch bugs as early as possible, rather than implement some functionality that you need in production environment.
Why penalize your production with things that you are supposed to just pass the correct data type? Why penalize your production checking over and over in every request the same thing?
The way I see these proposals, type hinting and similar things, I think they come from people that probably appreciate Java or were taught in college about Java, and that what they got used to, and they appreciate the value of checking types to detect eventual bugs that you may have in your code, which otherwise would go unnoticed. And that's the only situation that I imagine people may be motivated to propose features like this. I'm not saying that they do not have a value, but there are lots of other developers that usually vote against these features that are concerned with PHP being hurt in terms of performance. And there's plenty of people that want the PHP head out, as in they would rather have their preferred language to prevail rather than PHP, so they would pick on anything that could hurt the performance to claim PHP is slow. And in the case of this proposal, it trying to emulate a feature of TypeScript languages, but it would do it at runtime, so it would be expensive for applications that want to implement, want to run code as fast as possible. So that's why I doubt that these features will pass anywhere. Well, okay, now moving on to another topic here, which is more related with the plans with for PHP 6. Okay, I don't know if this is large enough. There are plenty of proposals for PHP 6. We will not go through all of them because, well, some of them we have already talked about. Things like having JIT compilers and the Unicode support, I mean, built in the language. I don't know, Cesar, which of these ideas do you think are probably new or more worth noting?
The worth noting is the JIT compiler. But yeah. I've heard Rasmus saying that that's going to change things towards a better PHP faster, but he doesn't see that feasible like for next year or for the next couple of years. Like that's a very hard change. The whole underneath Ascend engine will probably change. So that's something. Which is going to take years, but after all, that will eventually worth it. And one thing that I see, the first thing, the opcode cache integration, it seems that they want to make it even better, so that's something worth noticing. The second one is also important, which is the 60-bit support. I guess they are talking about big numbers. That's always important. And then the annotation support, that might be good. The way how they implement it in terms of syntax, that should matter, because many frameworks and libraries that I wrote myself, we are already using annotations, so we would like to take advantage of whatever PHP can actually offer us.
But is it something that you need at production time, or it's more to develop tools like code generator and stuff that you don't need exactly at production time?
How I use annotation is I use it to describe things, like say this property it behaves like this, and you have to validate like that. That's my use case. So I, ahead of time, like before deploying, I read those annotations. I generate code. So the final result is as if I write the code myself. So there is little of performance loss, but I don't do any annotation reading, parsing at production time. Yeah. I never do that.
So it's probably something that you may not need to be built in the language.
Right. I don't need it, but
because you're already using it, right?
Right, but I would like to take advantage of their syntax. Say I would like to parse their same syntax. So my annotations, even though I do with them something different, I could take advantage of. So that's important. Yeah. And the other thing was some letters that was. Which is the RNG, I believe, which is the random number generator. So that is going to be an invisible change for most people, but that's also important for the same reason that we discussed in the first proposal, which is to have a safer random generator. And that's pretty much it. As far as I look, another thing that I read is that they want to add UTF support, but gradually. The problem that was with PHP 6, the Akil trunk in subversion like a few years ago, was that they I listened. I had a conversation with Rasmus in person, and he explained us that the problem was that with PHP 6 they wanted to take a very long leap. So they wanted to change many things, and so they kill it, and they were doing that eventually with the PHP version with the 5.3, 5.4, and 5.5. And the problem that was specifically with the UTF support was that the library, which I think is live ICU, or I don't know how to pronounce that, is actually bigger than PHP itself. So it has like massive code base. So, and it, that was slowing down everything, like, into an unacceptable performance. So then I have read into the article that you share into that wiki that they are willing to give it a try, but with a smaller UTF-8 or internal, I don't know how to pronounce that, but UTF native support. So that is also good to keep an eye on. The problem is that there is no difference in terms of PHP between a binary, a string, which can contain anything, and something which is UTF, UTF-8. So you might end up having troubles when you are working with encodings, like what the user sends you, you cannot trust it. I use a library which I found, which is a fix UTF-8 or something like that, so that was useful. But in other languages, specifically in Python, they have like strings which are binary safe, and they have like UTF-8, which if you have something which is invalid, it fails, and it has a different syntax sugar. Like I think it was a U before your string, your quote a string. So I don't know how they want to implement that, but that is an interesting approach. Like having some difference between a string and something which is UTF-8.
Right.
Because dealing with broken encodings and things like that, it's so annoying. I've been there, and it's so annoying.
Right. So this is still a topic that is pretty much open for discussion. I think the failure of the past attempt to implement Unicode built in the languages was more due to the initial choice of having UTF-16 as the base of encoding all text strings internally. And there are too many issues regarding this eventual feature that, like Ratan said before, you probably won't make a PHP 6, probably it will be something for PHP 7, but
yeah,
we don't know yet. So we have yet to see what the discussions will add to reaching a decision regarding this topic. For me, other than those topics that you mentioned, I also like to mention one that is not very well commented, which is the HTTP2 support, which, HTTP2 is an evolution in terms of possibilities of optimizing the connections. It can establish multiple parallel connections with the same string, and the same stream. The idea that they have in mind is having things like bundling the PECL HTTP extension into PHP as built in, since it would add HTTP2 support, which is typically something that is complicated to have built in the language. Implemented in pure PHP code, there are many HTTP clients written in PHP. Implementing HTTP2, it would be probably very hard. It would be better to have it built in some PHP extension. The discussions about PHP 6 are pretty much open, and I think they'll last for a long while. I don't know. I don't think we'll see PHP 6 in less than 3 years, but it's a wild guess. Just a number that I put off the top of my mind, and it's just as good as any other guess. But I'm not expecting things to come as this that fast. But we'll see. Maybe we have some surprises and people start deciding much faster than I imagine. Well, anyway, moving on to next topic. Now, just commenting about an interesting tutorial that appeared in the PHP Classes site, which is about a topic that is has some interest, which is how to be able to access webcams and microphones from a web page and capture audio and video and to upload to the server. So there's this article by Vivek Moyal, and it's submitted to the PHP Classes blog. And it is very simple. The idea is just to use, in this case, he proposes to use a Flash applet that is available. I think it's called JPEG Cam, which does the capture and the actual the uploading of the stream to the server, and it can capture pictures in this case. But I think probably I'm not sure if it can also capture video. And this is interesting. It may have its uses, but in general, I think nowadays people like to stay away from Flash because it won't work in some devices, specifically Apple devices, iPhone and iPad and whatever. They do not come with the built-in support to run Flash applets because Apple decided to boycott it in favor probably to the development of native applications. This is an interesting article for those that want to use this in browsers that support the Flash, and it is useful. Now, if you really want to use something more modern, using browsers that already support HTML 5 specifications, there is one specification called Get User Media that determines how you can select one camera or one microphone and capture audio and video from them. And there is actually in the JS Classes site, let me open it here. There is a package submitted just a few days ago that precisely does that. And I don't know, it's probably too small. Let me increase the font here. And what it can do is to be able to capture audio and video as long as you are running on a browser that supports HTML5. I think most modern browsers already support the specification. I don't know about IE, maybe it requires IE10 or maybe 11 already. I don't know. But now you know that if you want to capture this in a built-in manner in your browser, that probably will also work in certain devices like the Apple devices, probably this is more the way to go. Cesar, I don't know if you have seen this article. I don't know if you want to add in any other comments.
Yeah, basically, I saw the article and it remembered that here in my country, the institution which issues the passport and the national IDs, I've been there because I got a new passport myself, and I saw their screen, and they were running a Internet Explorer application. So I looked closer, and it was PHP in the back end, and they were doing absolutely everything with it. They were taking photos. They were scanning my fingerprints. They were scanning all the official documents. Everything. That was a specialized application that was running into their internal network, so that was not something public. But it is a very good solution, and I guess that that is a very cost-effective because they don't need to pay licenses for each machine. Say, if they built it a COM-friendly version, they could even run it into Windows, so they can save money. So that was right. Very interesting, and I guess they were using Flash too, Flash or some custom browser extension in the front end. But however, that's a very interesting approach of solutions.
Right, I think if they take fingerprints, probably it's something more native. I'm not sure if Flash can even handle fingerprints. They are just capturing the fingerprints, it's one thing, but recognizing fingerprints is another thing.
No, the fingerprint scanner, it was sending an image, so I guess the Flash, that it can read images and just push back to the server. So, it was interesting, though.
Yeah. Okay, well, just to close this topic, I just wanted to mention something. This article was submitted by Vivek Moyal directly to the PHP Classes blog, and like just to mention this as a reminder that if you have written an interesting PHP articles, could be simple articles or more in-depth articles, I just like to mention that the PHP Classes blog is open for proposals. You can submit any articles as long as they are of general interest. For instance, if you want to write an article about a specific class that you submitted to the PHP Classes site, this does not go to the PHP Classes blog. You can use a specific blog that is associated with your package. But if this is about, for instance, an open source project, there have been other articles. And there is a category in PHP Classes blog named PHP Tutorials like this. That's where these articles go, and you can read it all about many. There are many articles published here in the past, and many authors got some exposure. Some of them were trying to get some exposure to their own projects, and their projects are not exactly published in PHP Classes site. Like this is this Databik PHP crew creator, plus an article published like two years ago, and it was about a tool from a developer that has it available in some other site. Well, with this, we are going to move on to the next topic, on which we start commenting about the latest Innovation Award winners. Then I think I lost the screen sharing. Here it is. This is an article. This is the Innovation Award winners section, on which we comment about the winners that have submitted their packages in December, and they were voting in January, and then in February the results come out. And we had like three packages nominated for the Innovation Award. The JS Classes site is much smaller than the PHP Classes site, so it doesn't have as many nominees. There were three nominees, which was fine. So from these three, which packages would you like to mention, Cesar?
All right. I have messed up with my webcam and my desktop. So I'm going to share my desktop. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay so the first class. So are we going to talk first about PHP classes or JS classes?
JS classes.
Okay, about JS classes. I think you need to
reduce the zoom because it's too large now.
Is it better or any better there?
Okay, I think it fits now.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this class.js using K class. It let you create classes using some sort of annotation. So because JavaScript is a prototype language and it is a very dynamic language, like there are probably dozen ways that you can create an object. So this is one approach, and everything which changed the way that JavaScript looks like, I am very interested in. So, and this package, it was submitted and developed by Rafael Lucio. He's from Brazil, and let's see if I can show one example here. So the Hello World.
Yeah, so yeah,
and if you can see here, it can basically play with the syntax, so it gives the illusion that JavaScript indeed support classes, but this is just a function call, and you send another function, then this gets executed, and then he has an annotation parser. So it's a very interesting project, so I would definitely keep an eye into this project.
Yeah, it's sort of unusual. We have seen many annotation solutions for PHP annotation parsers, but for JavaScript, not that I have been looking for them, but this is the first time that I have seen one package for that purpose. Well, on my behalf, I'd like to mention the other two packages. Let me just zoom here. Well, basically, there is a package which is very interesting because it supports HTML5 WebSocket to implement bidirectional communications, like for instance AJAX. Based shared applications, and this is very interesting because WebSocket is a very new thing, a very new technology. I don't know if all browser versions that are in use support it, but it's certainly something that is very useful, and solutions like this are very interesting. In this case, this one was developed by somebody that calls himself PLSCs, PLP, it's probably some nickname that doesn't sound like a real name, so we don't know his real name, but he's from India. Anyway, congratulations for his submission. And the other package is a jQuery plugin that is submitted by Sandro Alves Pereira from Brazil, and it is interesting that it can switch CSS styles of a checkbox input depending on the state. So if they are checked and checked and disabled, they use a different imagery, for instance. Actually, I thought this could be possible to implement in with just plain CSS, but probably it doesn't. I'm really not that much of an expert of a CSS, but it sounded a very interesting approach to solve this problem. So congratulations to Sandro. So, given this, we added all the nominees of December for the JS Class site, so I'm moving on directly to the Innovation Award winners of also December, but this time from the PHP Class site. And as I mentioned there, in PHP Class site there are much more nominees. This time there are like 8. And we don't have time to comment on all of them, so let's like comment on a couple of them, each of us. Cesar, which packages would you like to mention?
Yeah, I have chosen two. The first is the PHP interpreter. Can you see my screen?
Yes, it appears. Okay.
Yeah, so these projects, they have implemented in PHP a PHP interpreter. So you can pass any string and it will execute it. So that's fantastic. So that's fantastic, and that can be used in too many things. For instance, if your PHP implementation doesn't support a eval to run PHP code dynamically, so these can be really useful. So basically, this is a string, and they evaluate it, and they get some result back. So that's fantastic.
It's very unusual. Basically, they use the tokenizer, PHP tokenizer extension to parse PHP code, but then they actually interpret the code,
right. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that's somehow it's unusual. And that one is by Pavel Astakov from Kazakhstan.
Is this the worst country?
Obviously, we mean this in a good way, because this is a pretty serious work. It's not like Borat, which is a joke. Congratulations to Pavel for his submission. I hope he actually keeps sending more submissions like this, because they are of great quality, and they're actually, I would say, they are above the average. It didn't win this month. Probably not everybody has such a great use for a PHP interpreter, but it doesn't mean that it was not useful. So other than that,
it is a fantastic project. It is a fantastic project. And I envy him. I wish I could have time, because that should have been something really complex. So my next package is the site change detection. So basically, I don't know how it works in details, like how you execute it, but the whole idea behind this is really, really good. They scan your web directory, or any directory that you give it, and it will first learn some sort of date modifications and a chasm or some other way of making a footprint of it, and then you run that, I don't know, at every hour or at every day, and it can tell you like this has been changed. So, and if you haven't changed that, that means that you have some backdoors and that you need to fix that. So that is really useful.
Right. This is mostly for security purposes.
Yes, for security purposes.
Eventually to detect eventual attacks that changed your packages. So if you run this solution like every 5 minutes or whatever is the time you find appropriate, you can detect very early attacks that may have happened. I think this is an evolution. This package was submitted by Larry
Wickman from the United States of America.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he already submitted a somewhat similar solution, but it used to do some directory comparison, and you need to have a copy of the directory you want to compare. But I'm not 100% sure it was also a solution by him, but it's great. It's good to know that these solutions are appearing, because they show that the PHP developers are really concerned with security and attacks that may happen. Well, given that, on my behalf, I'd like to also mention a couple of packages. I wish we had more time to talk about the other four that we unfortunately have to leave out, because they are more and more interesting. Every month we see more interesting packages that are being submitted. And let me start first here by talking about this package PHP-MySQL new query, which basically, well, in this case, it was a package submitted by Ovum Tukanes. Well, I'm sure I'm butchering his name. I hope he can excuse me, but it's from Turkey, and he submitted this package that it's to sort, create a log of changes that it your application has done on records of your database tables, in this case specifically for MySQL. And given that, you can revert those changes. This works across transactions. So if you have multiple transactions, you have made those changes, it is able to track all the changes, even if you have done the changes in different transactions. And the way this works is by using triggers to detect which records and values were used to alter your database tables. And this is not a trivial solution, but
Manuel, it seems that your audio, that it has been lost in the last 10 seconds, at least at my end.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but anyway, what I say is that this package by Tukanmez from Turkey uses MySQL triggers to detect which records were changed in the database, and basically it keeps track of those changes so they can be reverted. So, given this, I'm going to move to another package, which is the last one I wanted to mention, because we don't have time for more. But this is still an interesting solution, also unusual. This one is called PHP Register Global Logger by Matthew Daniel from the United States. What it does is to detect eventual code that you may still have, probably legacy code that's still using register globals. And as you may know, register globals was finally removed from the latest PHP versions. So if you have legacy code that still relied on register globals, this package may be useful, because it somehow emulates register globals, but not with the purpose to keep it in your application, but rather to detect which code you still have in your application that probably needs to be fixed to no longer rely on register globals. That's why it's called PHP Register Globals Logger. And this is quite interesting. So congratulations for Matthew Daniel. Well, I'm sure by now most developers, after many years of having it deprecated and finally removed from PHP, most developers are no longer using register globals. But if you still have some legacy code that you probably need to fix, or else it won't work on the recent PHP versions, this package may be useful to help you fix your code. Well, with this, we practically ended this hangout. It was great, actually. We covered quite a good bunch of interesting topics, many of them related with security, some of them related with newer PHP versions features, PHP 5.6, PHP 6. So it is always interesting to see what is going on. So I hope it has been useful. So it only remains for me to thank Cesar once again for coming. It was always great to have your insights, to share your opinion about the discussed topics.
My pleasure.
So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.